Hey, beautiful people. This is Nkechi, and I'm just hopping in to set the scene. You are currently listening to How to Demolish Your Limiting Beliefs. There are over 15 plus episodes in this particular series, so make sure you get a listen to all of them. As well, don't forget to subscribe so you're notified every single time we drop a new episode. And make sure you join our community by becoming a member at www.nkechi.club. That's N-K-E-C-H-I.club. All right, let's go ahead and get into the episode, and I'll see you guys on the other side. Enjoy.
You could do a little bit better in this way. We can't give what we don't have. So all that person has is failure. That's why their cup runneth over with the ability to pour failure into yours. Like even as I'm saying that, I'm realizing that it's not a, when we talk about a cup runneth over, we always think about it in the grace aspect, in the, I have forgiveness, my cup runneth over. We always think about it in a good way because abundance is naturally associated with good, right? But some people have an abundance of BS. Some people have an abundance of insults because they've only ever been insulted and they don't want to do the deep dive to see if it's actually rooted in truth or illusion. That person, based on your description, it sounds like they actually did do a deep dive, and their problem is that they found that it was rooted in truth, that they actually are a failure. That's why they can confidently, with their whole chest, come out and call somebody else's daughter, something like that. I've never opened my mouth to say, I couldn't even imagine, like, in what scenario would I be there long enough to even quantify somebody to that depth? I would have checked, Hazel, let me tell you something. One thing about Nkechi, I would have been checked out way before we got to the failure part. I would have been out. Like, no, I'm seeing all the signs. These are red flags before we ever get to the failure. I need to take my leave. And just because as I'm standing there, I'm actually standing in the way of somebody else that might be there to fix you. Rather than call somebody that's actually a sign that I need to be. I'm either there to help you or I'm in the way. And if I'm not there to bring you out of a rut, then I'm in the way. I'm in the way. Rather than somebody calling another human being a failure, it's really a sign that you should go, because if they're a failure in your presence, what does that make you? That somebody can fail in your presence. People can't fail in my presence, Hazel. Somebody can't fail in my presence. I can't let you call yourself things. I can't let you put yourself down. I can't let you do those things. And that's probably why people want to be in my presence, because they know that, hey, well, you know what I mean? Like, that's probably why they want to be in the presence, because they know that, hey, you're actually going to have somebody that's rooting for you. So for somebody to stay there and just be like, you're a failure, and then they stay there, like, what does that make you? You know what I mean?
So I just catch that. I tell my friends when they come up with their limiting beliefs and they like talk really negative about themselves, I'll stop and I says, nobody talks about my friend that way.
Exactly. That's actually funny enough. That's actually something I say. Like, you can't talk shit about my friend in front of me. Listen, if you want to talk about yourself, go in a corner somewhere and talk about. Don't talk about that in front of me. Because you know what I mean, and the reason that I say that is because if you tear yourself down in my presence, what you're saying is that I'm the sort of person that would be friends with somebody like that, and I know I'm not. I'm not the sort of person that would take it, say I love you to a failure. I'm not that kind of person. So to insult yourself, if I truly care about you, for you to insult yourself, it means you insult me, and you're not gonna insult me. One thing about Nkechi, she's gonna stop you in your tracks.
I know. Well, sis, I have. Yeah, this is Marlene. I have something to say about that. I mentioned earlier about my sobriety, right? About being over 5 years sober. And my husband, he's not an emotional person, but he, you know, we love each other unconditionally, but we've recently had, you know, a couple big fights where I literally thought I was going to divorce him. But it's because we're learning to love together. And I love what you said about your husband, you know, that you guys work together, communication. Oh my God, just everything you say. And so a couple months ago, he said something that he's never said to me. He says that sometimes it's like the way I'm talking is like I'm shitting on myself, that the person that I was, because I've been with him now over 10 years, right? And he's like, when you put yourself down, like who I was, you know, before I got sober, because I was like, I felt like a zero with the rim rubbed out, you know, I was nothing to me, right? Yeah. And so I didn't realize that I was... No, I did realize that I was doing that, but I didn't, if you know what I mean, because I'm my own worst critic.
Well, no,
you know?
you thought it was right to say those things, because that's how you...
Yeah, and I didn't even have to think about it, because it was just my heart, you know? And so he said to me, he's like, so those around you, like, if you're... those that were there with you, then it's like, well, we're shitty too, I guess. That's how you thought it, because you were with, you know, like with my sisters, you know, I don't have a big group of, you know, I don't have a big tribe. I keep it small. And it's not even something I do intentionally. It's just because, like you and Ketchy, you know, it's just like whoever comes and stays is fine. Like, it's no big deal to me. I love myself now, you know, I love myself 100%. And before I was a zero with the rim rubbed out. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much for telling me that. Like, I had no idea that, like, that's what was coming across. So if it was coming across to him, then it probably was coming up that way to my best friends and my family and my mom and my sisters. I'm like, I will definitely be more cognizant of, like, not shitting on that old me, because I love her. It's who I am. It's why I am who I am now, because of my disease. And now I have this life beyond my wildest dreams, which to someone else might look boring, but I don't give a fuck. It's like, I got my car paid and I have a decent job that I hate, but, like, I'm going to leave it. You know what I mean? Like, I know what I have to do. Like, I know I'm worthy of more, like, in every facet of my life. And I just got to do what I got to do at the moment, you know? So that's something that came up for me. And I just want to say to you too, and, you know, I love you, right? I just do. Like, I don't even know how to say it, but I will. I always will. Cause I do. I feel like you channel things. And I definitely believe that you do. Cause I feel like tapping into my higher self, that I have also started doing that recently, you know, like, I just say things and I'm like, holy shit, where did that come from? It's because of my growth, you know, inside.
Yes.
But I just tell people things and people, like, seriously, I have the right ones around me. I have the right ones and I'm going to hold on tight to them because they see the real me. And I know that too, you know, and I've let go of the people that just don't see me, you know, it's like, I'm worthy of reciprocity, friendship and family, you know. Said that you channel, but I love when you say, oh my gosh, it's coming to me right now. I hear you say that all the time and Ketchy, and I love that. That's how I know you're channeling things. It's like, oh, that just came to me right now. I just had that thought on the spot. So thank you so much for that. I'm always here for it. I love you, girl. Love you, sis.
I love you too, boo. Yeah, because it really is like, I feel like people, you know, they have spaces like this and they want you to, they feel this need to be so ahead of the tribe and to do this and to do that. I mean it when I say all I do is press start room, like everything outside of that, it's all of us kind of creating it together. I'm also having the realizations at the same time. I mean, a lot of things I know, obviously, but when we're entering the, like that statement that you just made, I am worthy of reciprocity. I loved it so much because a lot of the things about spaces like this, they either validate what you've known about yourself, or they highlight what you didn't know about yourself. I find that spaces like this, most of it validates what I've been trying to get people to see in me. I feel that when I'm in spaces like this, I no longer have to convince people of what I'm saying. Like, the people who are ready to hear this are just here. The people that are ready to actually, that have been seeing the same things I've been seeing. Sometimes you walk around feeling completely alone, not because you're alone, but because you just haven't found the people. That's actually the beauty in social media. That's the beauty in communities like this, is because sometimes you could be right there, you know, next to your people, next to your tribe, supposedly, and you have to act like a completely different person just to fit into that tribe. But then you find spaces like this and you're just like, yeah, I can actually talk about books like As a Man Thinketh, like Hazel dropped. I can actually talk about, you know, New Earth. I can talk about manifestation. I can actually call BS on these things and not have somebody like attacking me or making it seem like there's something wrong with me for questioning something. Or for wanting another perspective other than the perspective that I already came with. Who wants to leave with the same thing they came with? Why would you go to the grocery store and leave with the same stuff you showed up with? The point of coming into spaces like this is that you leave with more understanding. These things, they help. They help. They help you in your day-to-day life. Can somebody look Hazel in the face and say failure ever again? I doubt it. I doubt it. Because
all the way up.
Exactly. it's not possible anymore. Why? Because you know now. You know now that had nothing to do, that wasn't me. But at the same time, you know, I'm thinking to myself, as we're having these experiences, we have to also ask, you know, what is the receptor that's inside of me that when this person says this, it connects? As you guys talk often, I think about the different interactions I've had, and I ask myself, going back to that, just like you highlighted, Marlon, like that previous person, going back to the person that I was, why was she so receptive to the nasty things? Why did she keep going back there? It's because she thought that that was all that the world had for her. It's all she'd ever known. So she kept going back there because she didn't want to be by herself. She knew that there was better, but she kept going back there because until I find better, you know, I don't want to, you know, I can't just jump off the ship. I just, you know, let me just stay on the ship. And then, you know, I don't want to, you know, I can't just jump off the ship. I just, you know, let me just stay on the ship. And then if I see it the other, when I see the better ship come, then I'll jump. But the reality is the other ship won't come for you because you're not in trouble. Why would one ship come for you if you're already on a ship? You're not in trouble. It's not going to come for you. You have to be in the water. You have to be swimming. You know, ships don't come and rescue people that are on other ships. You understand? Like that's not how it works. You have to put yourself out there and you have to know. You have to know that there's better. It wasn't until I got to the point that I was just like, listen, if there's not better, just go ahead and take me out, Lord, but I'm jumping off the ship. I remember having that conversation with God. I was done. I was just like, this ain't it. I don't know if there's better, but I just know that this isn't it. I'm out. Like, simple.
Yes.
When you talk about that previous person, you guys also, you need to, listen, just because that previous person is not the person that can actually, I talked about this earlier on today, right? About how the person that I was, the savage that had to like hustle and work hard and cut off friends and spend 16 hours a day at work just to be able to become this person and blah, blah, blah. I talked about how that survivor, after the survival mode, after the season where you had to survive is over and now it's time to reap, the survivor can't be the person that's reaping. It doesn't work like that. You want to know why? Because that person will be in a season of reaping, a season of abundance, and still acting like a survivor. They'll be hoarding food. They'll be put, no, you're in a season of abundance. You don't have to hoard anymore. You don't have to protect yourself. You don't have to have this tough exterior. You don't have to suspect people anymore. You're in a season of abundance now. You've done the work. Now this is the fruit. The person that was in survival mode, however, will not enjoy that fruit. They will just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat because all they know is I got to be full because I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But that's not the season you're in. Tomorrow is just going to bring more abundance. All you're going to do is put on weight because you just keep on eating stupid shit instead of just enjoying, like just being a normal person. Just sit at the table and eat with a fork and spoon. Stop eating with your hands because you're too scared about what's going to.
And it's still not right. But, you know, like. I only recently stopped doing that. And I mean, my husband does really well, like a lot better than I do. You know what I mean? So yeah, I totally see what you're saying. Like that season, I finally broke away with it. Like, oh, I can afford to go to the store and get myself a nice pair of jeans. Like, yes. Like, but the old idea. So, oh my God, you touched on that. And I just like really appreciate that. Like let that season go. Cause I'm okay now. I'm okay.
Man, you know what you just, you know, you guys, whenever I don't know, I might make that available. There was some old, when you said to let that season go, there's this old podcast that I recorded called Let the Burden Go. And it's actually going to be made available when I open up the channels there. So whenever you, if you guys are on Nkechi.club, right, if you see the three categories underneath of, just FYI, if you see the categories underneath of Clubhouse tapes, the first one is going to say all the way up. That's where the audio and the study guides for this one are going to be associated with. The second one will say crypto room tapes. Those are the crypto and the how to make money in the digital age audios. It's going to take you to links that take you to that. And then the third one will say book room tapes, and that's the book room stuff. But above all of that, there's going to be a button that says like view all audio or all audio or something like that. If you click that, the page that it will take you to, it'll scroll, like you can scroll all the way to the bottom and you'll actually see a line that says, let the burden go. And I just remembered that I actually recorded that probably like either a year or 2 years ago, something like that. But it was actually about this topic, about how the person that was in the season of struggle can't sustain in the season of abundance because they're always going to act like they're in struggle. And when your internal, when your subconscious doesn't match your conscious and then your conscious doesn't match your exterior, that's where that self-sabotage comes from. You have to always be like homeostatic experiences. You have to always be level with your external. And when we listened to Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth, there was a line that he had in there that suffering comes from resistance. because you're resisting the person that you need to be in the new season. That's why you're suffering. Even amidst abundance, you are still suffering. You're still suffering because you're resisting the change. The change doesn't just happen externally. It has to happen internally. There's a such thing as you being perfect in that previous season. And because of that person that you were in the previous season, you are completely ill-suited to be in the new season. Mind you, there's nothing wrong with that previous person. The savage that I was, man, that girl could get it, man. She could work like 16 hours a day. She didn't care. She would beast mode everything. 10X this, 10X that. Oh, the secret says this. Manifest this. That. Listen, if that girl was here right now, she'd be scattered on the table. She'd be annoying as hell, man. She'd be loud all the time. 16 hours, go to sleep. Go to sleep. Nobody Amen. Wants to hear it. I'm tired. You know, I would just be.
God, I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she served her purpose. But if she were to be in this season, she would damage this season. She would damage it.
And we don't know. It's the caterpillar to the butterfly.
Exactly. And you can't take the cocoon with you. That's the problem. Nope. Folks want to take that cocoon with them because they were so comfortable there and they were safe. The cocoon won't keep you safe anymore. Even if you try to crawl back into it, all you'll do is damage it. It won't keep you safe. Whatever's coming for you in the new season, whatever protected you in the previous season won't protect you. It's not how it works. The same way that what used to fuel me, anger, was what fueled me. During that savage season, I needed to transmute all that anger that I had from childhood, all that anger that I had from my 20s. By the time I started that season, I was about, 26, 27, 28. All of that anger, I bottled all of that, and I used it as just, not just fuel, not gas, guys, rocket fuel. It was nuclear power, and it just devoured everything, every single obstacle in my way. It devoured it. I found myself at the beginning of this year trying to do the same thing. Like, okay, you know what? It's time for me to get back into it. But I don't have enough anger left. The thing that's good about transmuting negative energy into something useful is that after you finish using it up, that negative is gone. I don't have enough anger to fuel me anymore. I mean, I still get angry about stuff, but man, I'm tired all the time. And like, I just take a nap and then I wake up and I feel better. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, dang, now I got to find the anger again. I have to go search for anger to come feel. And I realized that anger didn't work anymore. I'm telling you guys what I'm realizing about myself. Anger doesn't work anymore. Sometimes I try to do it and I'm just like, man, I got a headache, man. Let me just take some ibuprofen and watch and catch up on Lucifer on Netflix or something. Let me just watch a show. It doesn't work anymore. You know what works now?
Hey, loves. Welcome to the other side. I hope you're enjoying the journey so far. If there are episodes you haven't listened to yet, make sure to check them out next. And if you haven't already, make sure you visit us at www.nkechi.club to join our community by becoming a member. That's nkechi.club. As well, don't forget to subscribe so you're notified every single time we drop a new episode. I hope that something you heard today touched you. And until the next time, please remember, you are loved, you are valued, and we couldn't do this without you.